Come on, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. The streets are cheering on our children a lot louder to do the wrong things. So let's lift them up and begin to acknowledge them for doing the right things. Amen, amen, amen. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Your pastor wasn't supposed to tell on me like that, but I'm going to let him have it. This is probably the first church that I've been to in my 13 years of preaching where they actually placed a love offering in my hand before I did anything. I said, if that ain't faith, I don't know what is. Usually I get that envelope afterwards, and they probably deducted some dollars because I ain't do what I was supposed to. But God bless you all. From what I understand, this was a perfect church before I came in. Is that right?
That's not right.
That's okay. Well, I apologize for coming in with my sins, but I'm so glad that I serve a God who sent his son for my sins that I might be forgiven and be able to live eternally with him. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, to your wonderful ministerial team who I share Morgan State University with, and I love me some Morgan State. So anytime I hear the name, my soul, whoo, it just gets happy, real, real, real happy. And I have my Pope family back there who I love dearly with another one of my Morgan State graduates. And I tell you, since I got the microphone, I get to talk about people and say what I want, and you can't do nothing about it. But I grew up in a family filled with Delta women, so I'm partial to my Deltas, but there's got to be three of the finest AKAs I know in my life. So I'm going to show y'all some love today. Amen? Amen. I thank your pastor and also your first lady who snatched me up when I came in and sat me down in the Bible study. But that conversation got me started right away with just where I needed my head to be. I came to you all from the Eastern Shore this morning, so that was 2 hours and 15 minutes of driving that I had to do. And I probably should have found a bathroom first, but Bible study was what it was. So I'm just glad to have my spirit together. When I spoke to your pastor earlier this week, you know, once I started answering my phones and Facebook messages and all that, I told him I was wrestling with this message, but then I had to ask the Lord to get me together real quick because I wasn't trying to wrestle with your pastor when I got here. Ain't too many people I know who are larger in stature than me, so that's just not a battle that I was trying to deal with this morning. Amen. Amen. But there is a word from the Lord on today. And so if you have your Bibles with you, or if you're anything like me, I'm technology savvy, so I got smartphones and dumb phones when they want to be. Won't you join me at Matthew, the 18th chapter, And we're going to start at the 20th verse just to get us together and on one accord. Amen. When you have it, say amen. And if you don't have it, say, wait a second. All right, I'm on hold. Somebody's smartphone ain't acting so smart today. I was grateful for this, though, because I used to carry a Bible in my book bag. That thing gets heavy. But this app on the phone is light. Praise the Lord. Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So that gets us together. 21st verse. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not seven times, but 77 times. And in some of your Bibles, you may get it seven times, 70, 70 times seven. But I like that 70 times seven.
Yeah.
If anybody does their math, which students, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to cover this one. Oh, you already know what it is? 70 times seven? Say it again. 490. She got it. Let's go ahead and give her a hand. That's that quick math. I love it. 490. Look to your neighbor and say, we don't have time to keep count. Say it again. We don't have time to keep count. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just how you came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just how you came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Most graceful God, we come before you just to say thank you. Thank you for another chance to get it right. God, you tapped us on the shoulder and woke us up this morning, and you didn't have to do it. For somebody else went to bed thinking that today was theirs, and you did not call their name. So God, we don't take this moment for granted. But while we're here with you, Lord, won't you speak? Speak in a way that we've never heard you before. Speak to our hearts, Lord, that we might love someone a little stronger. Speak to our head, Lord, that we might stay focused on you. Speak to our ears so that we might hear a word from you today. Speak to our hands to hold on just a little while longer. Speak to our feet that we might move as you told us to do. God, forgive us for the times when we tried it on our own. For we know that we can do all things through you. Yes, we can, God. Thank you. Now, either through me, Lord, or in spite of me, reach these your people. For you are my strength and even my redeemer. Amen. We don't have time to keep count. Now, Pastor, I know we talk about forgiveness. We talk about forgiveness a lot. And it's a very touchy subject because everybody don't want to forgive. Amen.
Amen.
I've been there, and sometimes I go back there. We just are people that don't want to forgive. But there are some things that we have to know about forgiveness, and we get it in not such a clear way from Jesus in this text. Peter asked him, Lord, how many times should I forgive when somebody sins against me? And he's looking for an exact number from the Lord. How many times? Should it be one time, two times, up to seven times? Should I forgive? And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. And she's smart enough to figure it out, but I actually had to pull out my calculator and work that problem out. 490 times. And I said, well, why would you get a number like 490? It's even because there's a zero on the end. This is math for you children. But it's not really an even number. 450, I could deal with. 475 is not so bad. 500 we could do. But 490 is a very, very, very strange number. It's something that you literally have to think about and stay focused on in order to get exactly to 490. And I think what Jesus was trying to tell us is the number of times that we forgive somebody should not be something that we're focused on. We shouldn't be keeping count on the number of times that we've had to forgive somebody. And I think it's because as he's knowing what he's about to do on our behalf, God would not keep count of the number of times that we've had to ask for forgiveness ourselves. And I think that's the first thing that we should be grateful about. If God ever kept the score, my goodness, we would be a lost people. And so I continue to think about these things, and I got to wrestling with it because I knew there was a text for this celebration, and we're so proud of the graduates, and I'm thinking, well, what does forgiveness have to do with these graduates, and what message does that offer to them? And it ties in so perfectly, particularly for those graduates who are about to head to the collegiate level and into their professional lives. We have to learn to forgive. And there are two types of people that we have to learn to forgive. We learn to forgive others, and we learn to forgive ourselves. And the pastor said, speak to our young people and speak to our adults. Well, forgiveness is all across the board. When we're young, we have to forgive. When we're somewhere in the middle, we've got to learn to forgive. And even as older adults, we have to learn to forgive. And everybody's forgiving different things for different reasons. And the first thing we need to know about forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard. It was never supposed to be an easy thing, because when we have to forgive somebody, that means they've done us wrong. All right, that's the first place that forgiveness starts. It starts with a wrongdoing. Now, Pastor, you told me preach the gospel. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, you know, before we get too carried away in here, you know, some of them churches want them soft sermons where we can run and shout and stuff, but we got to dig into this thing. All right, forgiveness is hard, and I'm older adults, let me start with you. Raise your hand if you're working. Raise your hand if you're working. There's a lot of people in here with a job. Amen. And unless you work by yourself, for yourself, only with yourself, I'm pretty sure you've come across somebody on your job.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Who gets on your nerves just a little bit. There's this mystical box at my job called the refrigerator. And sometimes I turn into Eve from Barbershop. Who in the world drunk my apple juice? I put it in there. I paid for it. Now somebody else done drank my apple juice. Now for you, it may not be your apple juice. This the other one to get me. In that magical box, they done fixed something that probably died a couple times between them fixing it and it sitting in the refrigerator. So you open up the door and all the funk just comes running out the dish and hits you right there in the face. I can't stand that kind of stuff on the job. It got so bad, I just went ahead and bought a mini fridge and put it in my classroom, and I leave it there. So I know exactly where my stuff is. But when stuff like that happens, it makes you angry. And sometimes people even get so bold. Well, I ain't see your name on it. Oh, well, excuse me. And that stuff makes you angry. It makes you angry. You know, but some people genuinely don't know better, and some people just really don't care. But either way, we've got to learn to forgive those kinds of people. And that's the simple stuff. That's the simple stuff. You know, some of you drove here in your cars, and if you're anything like me and you passed that construction, what was that, on 370? I had a couple people cut me off. Couple people get real close to hitting my car, and I said, Lord, if this gospel music wasn't on the radio, I might just roll my window down and take them back to some Morgan days where we get mad in a minute and stomp you in your chest. What did you say? But I realized some people, they just gonna test your patience. They just gonna test your patience. And really, sometimes God put people in the way just to test your patience, because we could lose our minds on these people, and they You don't even see them later. I don't know where these people going. I pray to God that they get there safe, but I don't know where they're going, but they have no influence on where it is that I'm heading. And I know for me, I was coming to the house of the Lord to deliver a message. So if I let somebody get me out of my spirit, then the enemy has won. And so you got to let those trivial things go. But then sometimes the forgiveness gets a lot harder. And I mean, some of us have been in those situations, all right? If you, and those of you who have been in through college and in college, you've had a roommate. Oh, Jesus. Anytime you live with somebody who wasn't raised like you or taught the things that you're taught, sometimes they just don't know. They just don't know. And it make you angry, too, don't it? They just put their stuff on your side of the room, and your snacks be coming up missing, and they be you come in and they got their company sitting on your bed with their outside clothes on, and all that funk just get all in your sheets, and you just looking at them like, I hope you fall asleep before me, because I'm gonna take this pillow and hold it over your head. That's how they make you feel sometimes. Sometimes, I mean, you get placed in situations in your life that will really test your patience, but you look to God to help you deal with those kinds of things. And I mean, it can even get worse. They get late on the rent. They don't pay bills. They take the money that you gave them for a bill, and they go down to Maryland casinos and slots. I know ain't none of y'all been there, but I hear it's a fantastic place. I'm just saying. So some things don't necessarily work out the way that you want them to, but even when people are upsetting you, you have to learn to forgive them. And I mean, there's a whole new level of that forgiveness. And one of the hardest things for me to do was to learn to forgive my father. Because for me, I was but an infant when he walked out on my mother and my two brothers and left us in a single parent household. And if you familiar with The Fresh Prince, I was asking those same questions that Will Smith did when his father walked out. Why don't he want me, man? Why can't he be there? Why won't he do this? Why won't he stand up? But it's not my job to figure those things out. He had an opportunity and he didn't take it. The only thing I know is to God be the glory that he wasn't there, because I may not have turned out the way that I did. And so holding on to that anger only left me in a bad place. I couldn't come around his side of the family because they reminded me of him, and I resented them even though they didn't do anything wrong to me. So I had to learn to forgive him, and it took a long time, but once I did, I felt so much better about myself. Forgiveness is a hard thing to do. That's the first thing. The second thing, forgiveness is not for them. It's for you.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. Now, this reminds me of my college days. You get mad at people. Actually, this may be the workplace too. You get real mad at people, and you just be mad. All the time. You just mad, your face all scrunched up, you look like you've been sucking lemons all day. You mad. And then you see the person that you mad at, and watch this. They smiling just like that. Who in their feelings? You are. The person that you mad at, they going about their business, they in the club, they shaking their groove thing, and you still sitting at home like, how can I get them? How can I fix them? You ain't been nowhere. You ain't made no dinner. The children hungry. You ain't seen about them. You focused on everything else because you still holding on to this anger. But when you learn to forgive, you get to go on about your business. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. And I mean, there are some people I know who the people they mad at, they buried 6 feet underground. They dead and gone somewhere. And you still mad at them. Well, they ain't write me into the will. What you gonna do about it now? Nothing. So what's the point in holding on to the anger? And I mean, it's not this goes beyond the spiritual thing. It's physically not good for you to hold on to your anger. I mean, you weaken your immune system, you develop ulcers and all of those kinds of things. And then it ties back into a spiritual thing because we're supposed to take care of our bodies because they're our temple. And so it's deeper than just a simple, oh, you made me mad and I'm not blah, 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 blah. You are literally making yourself unhealthy physically and mentally and spiritually by holding on to whatever resent that you have for the person or persons who made you upset. Let it go. Amen? Amen. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. Now, this last thing, I probably wrestled with this the most, and this is why I asked for the wireless mic, because I get to do a little moving around. Pastor, I like being by you, but I was hoping for a little freedom. All right. Hey, y'all. It's a little warm up there, too. So, all right. Fantastic. Oh, y'all look good. Hey, how y'all doing? All right. Forgiveness frees up space inside of you. And that's a very big thing to think about. Matter of fact, I need a couple children. You come on. Matter of fact, 1, 2, and 3. Come on. They volunteered. I'll take all 3 of you. Come on up here. I'm going to borrow y'all. Let me get 1 of you on this side and the other 2 of you on this side. Matter of fact, you come on too. I saw your hand. All right, we'll make it even. 2 and 2. Y'all stand right there. I said 2 and 2. All right. Yeah, thank you. The math was good until now. All right. Forgiveness frees up a space inside of you, because when you're thinking about the things that have happened to you that make you upset, then you start to occupy parts of your mind and body that aren't meant for anger. Your heart is not meant to hold anger. It's meant to hold love. But when we're angry, we literally cannot create space for the love to go in. And this is where we start thinking about our boyfriends and our girlfriends and our spouses and those kinds of things. When they do you wrong, you're still supposed to love them. Love is not a fuzzy feeling. It's actually an obligation. God calls us to love one another, our friends and family, our neighbors, strangers, the homeless, the sick, black, white, gay, straight. We're supposed to love everybody, and because we're angry about things, we don't have the space and capacity to love. It messes up our focus. And so this is where the children tie in. All right, everybody put 1 finger in the air. All right, so you can count to 1. We got that down. Okay, this is what I need. I need you to start counting to 490 by 2s. All right, out loud. 490 by 1. Out a little louder. Okay. 77 by 1. 77 by 1. Start with 1, 2, until you get to 77. All right. I need you to count to 7 and just keep starting over again. 1 through 7, and then keep starting over again. Listen to them. Stop. Right where you are. What number are you on? Huh? Huh? You think you're on 40? Hold that thought. What number are you on? What number are you on? What number are you on? All right, be on 40, okay? All right, keep going, out loud. Listen to him. Stop. What number is she on? What number is she on? Huh? She's still on 40? You never left 40? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Is she still on 40? Okay, what number is she on? Are you on 1? No. The thing is this. When we're counting what people do wrong, when we're trying to keep track of every wrongdoing that's taking place, we lose our focus on something that's happening outside of us. I'm so mad at my girlfriend that I can't see the homeless person in need of food and water on the ground. I'm so mad at my brothers and sisters that I can't see the person in the pew next to me crying. I'm so mad at my boss that my coworker who needs an invitation to church, I never give it to them because I'm not thinking about these things. We literally do not have time to keep track of everything that happens to us because there's too much work to be done in the kingdom of God.
Come on, sir.
Amen? Amen? But watch this. All of you, hold one finger up. All right, so we know where we are. We're starting with the number one. You with me? Are you okay. Y'all know I got to see about this one. All right. From one to ten, together, and... Stop there. They're all on one accord.
Yeah.
Forgiveness puts us back on one accord. My. And then we can all focus on the task at hand.
Yeah.
And see it clearly when we move the things out of the way that God doesn't have for us. We create a space for his work to be done on earth. Emory Grove, we literally do not have time to keep count of people's wrongdoings. The hungry have to be fed. The naked have to be clothed. The sick have to be healed. This kingdom here on earth has to be built. And so starting today, you've got to let it go. Whatever wrong happened to you has got to go now. Yes, you did me wrong, but I'm going to forgive you. Not just for the sake of you being forgiven, but so that I can be free to do God's work. I'm going to forgive you even though you've done me wrong. Not so that you can be happy, but so that God can get the glory. Because it's this simple. He said, and I know you all are Bible readers, so as you continue to read your story, the parable happens like this. A man is in debt to his boss. In a nutshell, Pastor, I'm going to paraphrase if that's all right. He's in debt to his boss, and he says, if you just give me a little time, I can get it together. And the boss says, you got it. Go on. I'm going to forgive you, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, his debt was great. But that same man who got forgiveness from somebody higher than him then went down the road and found somebody who owed him just a little bit. And he said, if you could just give me a little bit of time, I'll see to it that I get you what I owe you. And he said, no, I can't do that for you. I can't. No, I want what you owe me, and I want it now. He missed the memo. If you just got forgiveness, why can't you forgive somebody else? And so I want you to think about that. The next time you want to hold a grudge, and I'm not talking to y'all, I'm preaching to myself right now. The next time you want to hold a grudge, remember that the last time you did wrong, you were forgiven. And the time before that, you were forgiven. And the time before that, and before that, and before that. God never kept count. And the amount that we owe him is way greater than anybody on earth could have and be in debt with us. We just don't have time to keep count. So on the count of three, as we are on one accord, I want you all to say, we are forgiven. One, two, three.
We are forgiven.
You all be blessed. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Everything that happens in service is orchestrated for this moment that we've arrived at right now, where somebody who may not know Christ for themselves, or somebody who had that relationship but it's kind of fallen off, we set and God sets this all up for this moment where somebody can say yes to him. And so we open the doors of the church for somebody to accept Christ or to renew their relationship with Christ. And then the third invitation I always give, T.D. Jakes, he's good. Empowerment Temple, you can watch it online. All right, all the mega churches all over the world, BET got their Sunday morning gospel thing going on. All right, TV, internet, all that's fine. But there's nothing like being in the house of God with like-minded people. And so if you're without a church home, we extend an invitation to you. Emory Grove is building, and they're doing a great thing. I learned that there was a point where they wanted to shut this down, but look what God has done. They ain't shutting no doors on this place. They not moving this out of the community. And so what that tells me is that Emory Grove understands its purpose and its place right here. And so if you're without a church home, we extend an invitation to you as well. Won't you come and be in the household with like-minded people? The altar is also open for those of you who need prayer, all of these things. God will do just what he said he would do if you allow him to do it for you. So the altar is open. Won't you come?
Us, the one who provides for us, the one who continues to bless us. While all those things are important to us, Lord God, we are grateful for nothing more than the fact that you have forgiven us our sins. Lord God, we thank you for forgiveness. Because, Lord, we know that we have needed to be forgiven. When we look back over our lives, God, in fact, we don't have to look very far, God. We just review what happened today. We know that we've come short of your glory in so many ways, God. All those things, Lord God, that you told us not to do that we did anyway just today. All the things, God, that you told us to do, Lord, that we have still left undone just today, God. We come repenting of sins, Lord God, asking you to forgive us. We ask you, Lord God, to forgive us because if you don't forgive us, Lord, we know that death is right at our door. Because sin is the nature of this world, God, we know that no matter what we do, Lord God, we can't help but sin. But we thank God for Jesus Christ, who has come, Lord God, to remind us that in his blood, God, there is power. Power to forgive, God. Power to save, God. Power to heal. And we thank you that you've given all of that to us on this day. We say hallelujah to your name. We thank you for salvation that is full and free today. We thank you, God, that you've given us a command, Lord God, that we would just confess our sins to you, that you would be faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, having been forgiven with so great a forgiveness, we pray even now, Lord God, that you would fix our spirits, that when so many others, God, encroach against us, those who work our last nerve, God, ones who do us wrong, Lord God, those who hurt us, Lord God, those who keep us from doing what we think we ought to be doing, God, we pray even now, Lord God, that we would find it in our forgiven hearts to forgive somebody. God, we pray for forgiveness, Lord, in our families. for those ones who are supposed to have loved us, God, but did us wrong, Lord. Help us to forgive, Lord God, today. Help us to forgive spouses, Lord God, who worked our last nerves, God, pushed all of our buttons, Lord God, who haven't done right, God. Help us to find forgiveness in our hearts, God, for our enemies who do nothing else but hate on us day in and day out. Help us today, Lord God, to forgive. Help us, Lord, to be more like you today, that your heart is about forgiving, God, because when you release us, God, from the burden of sin, God, you free us to worship, God. You free us to joyful service, God. You free us to give you glory and honor and praise, God. You free us to work together on your behalf, God. You free us, Lord God, because he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. God, we pray that you would loose these young people today. Free them, Lord, from all this technology, God, so that they might actually have a conversation with somebody. Free them, Lord God, from a spirit of selfishness, Lord God. Free them, Lord God, from whatever is bothering them and hindering them, God, to a future that you have prepared for them. We thank you, Lord, for sending them our way. We pray, Lord God, that we are good examples of what a Christian life ought to be, God. We pray, Lord God, that you're helping us to encourage them and to nurture them in your admonition, Lord God. But have your way with them, God. They don't belong to us. They belong to you, Lord God. Have your way, God, with them. Protect them, God, as they go by the way, Lord. Help them to get their education, Lord God. Keep them from violence, Lord God. Keep drugs off them, Lord God. Keep premarital sex away from them, Lord God. Have them achieve, Lord God, everything you have called and created them to be, and we will give you glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Lord. For those who have submitted themselves to graduation today, Lord, who have studied diligently, Lord God, who have made it, Lord God, who have run the race, God, and kept the faith. We thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed them, Lord, with diplomas. But we pray, Lord God, more than anything, that you would give them godly wisdom today. How to do, Lord, what you want them to do with what you've given them, Lord. Give them wisdom, Lord God, beyond what they can see, that they might be a blessing for somebody today. Lord, we lift up everyone in our congregation who is sick and shut in today. Those who have even come to our altar today, Lord God, with problems that we haven't even heard about, Lord, much less can vocalize. Touch, Lord, right now. Heal in the name of Jesus, God. Set somebody free, Lord God. Deliver somebody today, Lord. Do what you have to do, Lord God, that your people will give you glory and honor and praise. Without hindrance, Lord, without anything coming against them, Lord God, without anything holding them back, God, that they might be free to offer up the highest praise to you. Seeing, God, what you've done, God, seeing how you blessed, Lord God, seeing how you've kept, Lord God, seeing how you've made the month long as the money, Lord God, seeing how you've done those things that only you can do. Let a hallelujah rise up on somebody, Lord God, in the well of their spirit, Lord God, that it comes up to give you glory and honor and praise. God, we worship you today. Lord God, we magnify you today, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up your holy and righteous name because you've been good all by yourself, Lord God. Nobody can do us like you do us, Lord God. We honor you. We exalt you. We praise you today, God. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, you've been good, God. Lord, you've been mighty good. Bless now your people that we might be more for you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 Come on and give God some glory in this place.